We do want to welcome each one along to our drive-in this afternoon. We're very glad to have you join with us once again. And we welcome each one in the Saviour's name. And we trust it will be the last, at least for the present time. And we're thankful for the opportunity of going back to regular services within the building. And we will be doing that from next weekend. God willing, we will be in for our prayer meeting as well. In the course of the week. But as to regards to Lord's Day and to drive-ins, this is the last for a little while. So we're glad to have you with us, and we thank you for being here. And it's our prayer that the Lord will indeed bless us as we gather in this fashion. We're going to start off with a great hymn of testimony. It's hymn number 215. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. And then the chorus reads, mercy there was great, and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. And we certainly rejoice in the place called Calvary, where our Savior bled and died, that he might save us from our sins. So we're going to commence with this hymn. It's 215 in the hymnal. And there's some hymn sheets there as well. And also make sure you log in to tune in to 87.5 FM. And you'll be able to hear the sound over your car stereo if you do that. To bow together now in prayer. look to the Lord today to bless us as we gather. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the place called Calvary. We thank Thee that there upon that cross that stood on that hill, there was one who gave His life for sinners. And the one who is Thy dear Son, manifest in human flesh. We thank Thee for the God-man, for the man Christ Jesus. We thank Thee that we can draw near to Thee this afternoon in His name, trusting not in any merit that is in us. For Lord, we acknowledge that before Thee we have none. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in Thy sight. But we come in the name and in the merit of the one whom Thou didst give for sinners. O Lord, we praise Thee for the gift of God's Son, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And we bless Thee for that gift of all gifts. There was never a gift like the Savior given. Lord, whatever other gifts may be given on earth, no matter how valuable they might be, nothing ever comes near the gift of Thy Son to come into this world and to live and to die and to work out salvation and to redeem a people unto Thyself. We do, O Lord, stand amazed in Thy presence and wonder at Thy love and mercy and the grace of God that is manifested to those who are unworthy and who are undeserving. O Lord, there is nothing good in us, nothing attractive in us, nothing that appealed to Thee. It was out of Thy good pleasure that Thou art pleased to save souls. But Lord, we thank Thee, Thy word reveals Christ unto us. This book declares the truth of Thy Son, the promises that were given in Old Testament times. And in due course they were fulfilled. And there came that time when Christ walked amongst men and performed those miracles and demonstrated that He was indeed no ordinary individual, but that He was the God-man, and that He was the one sent of His Father in order to redeem sinners. Oh, we bless Thee for this. We thank Thee that this day reminds us of a Savior who's risen from the dead, that it was on the first day of the week that the Savior rose and came forth victorious and tore the bars of death away and rose from the dead. And we thank Thee that Thy word tells us that that in itself was testimony that Thou had accepted the work that He was given to do, that Thou wert well pleased with the work of Thy Son. And therefore, Lord, today we thank Thee that there is a Savior, and we can have confidence in this Savior. We can know for sure that it's well with our soul when we're trusting in Him. Lord, we can say, even with the words of this hymn of testimony that we have just been singing, that there was a time when mercy reached our souls and brought us unto Christ. And it's all because of what took place at that place called Calvary. We do look to Thee to bless us today. We thank Thee for the opportunity of gathering together once again this afternoon. And we pray that Thou will bless us. Be with all who are here. Speak to each one, even those, Lord, who are within the sound of our voices. And we pray that in hearing what is said, that Thou would be pleased to speak to them. It is our desire, Lord, that our friends and our neighbors would come to know Christ. That is our earnest prayer, that there would be a seeking of the Savior right across this land, right across this island, and the mainland as well. And oh, we pray that Thou would visit our land again. Oh, turn this land once more into a land of saints and scholars, we ask of Thee. May there be a forsaking of sin and a turning away from the ways of the world and a seeking of Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior. In Him alone is found eternal life. And we pray that today there will be some individual, even this last drive-in service for the present time. We pray, Lord, that some individual in hearing today might indeed turn to Christ and would believe on him, that the word would be mixed with faith in their heart, and that they would come believingly unto Jesus Christ and come to know him whom to know is life eternal. So, Lord, grant us thy blessing now as we come to thy word. Speak unto us, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to read some verses of Scripture from 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're reading from the opening verse, the first seven verses of this chapter. So it's 1 Timothy and chapter 2. And we're reading from the opening verse of this chapter. It's Paul writing to young Timothy. Paul and Timothy arrived in Ephesus, and it was Paul's desire to travel on to the cities of Macedonia, but there were some needs that were very relevant and prevalent in the church in Ephesus. So Paul left young Timothy to oversee that church and even to put some of these matters right. And Paul wasn't away very long until he felt the need to write to Timothy and to give him written counsel. So that's what you have here in 1 Timothy. And we're reading out of chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word to all of our hearts. It is to verses 5 and 6 that I want to draw your attention for a little while this afternoon. Those words of Paul to Timothy where he said, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. In this portion of Scripture that we have just been reading, Paul teaches us that we are to pray for all those who are in authority over us. And he begins this chapter with those words, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. So he's reminding us of the Christian duty to pray for all of those who are in positions of authority, whether we might like them or not. Remember that when Paul wrote these words, Nero was the emperor, no friend of the Christians at all, and ultimately no friend of the Apostle Paul either, because it was Nero who ended up sentencing Paul to death in Rome many years later. But nevertheless, whether we agree with those who are in office or not, there is a Christian duty upon us to pray for those who are in authority. And Paul gives two reasons why we are to do that. First of all, that we might get on with our lives from unnecessary interference. It tells you there in verse 2 that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. So there's the first reason why we are to pray for those who are in authority. It's that we might live quiet lives, peaceable lives, that we might get on with life and get on with living for the Lord and get on with serving the Lord, living to help our fellow man. So that's the first reason as to why we are to pray for those who are in authority. The second reason as to why we are to pray for those who are in authority is that the gospel might be freely preached and that souls might be converted. If you notice there what it says in verses 3 and 4, it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." So here's another reason why Paul is saying to Timothy, and ultimately to that church at Ephesus as well, here's why you're to pray for those who are in authority, that the gospel would be freely preached, that there would be no hindrance or restrictions placed upon the gospel, because it is the Lord's desire to save souls. It's the Lord's desire to save souls. And that brings us to these two verses that I want us to think about for a little time. You see, in order to save souls, there has to be the provision of a mediator. There has to be the provision of a mediator in order for souls to be saved. And it is the will of God that souls are saved. We have read that here, and we can turn to numerous other portions of Scripture as well. And we will be able there to discern it is indeed the will of God that souls are saved, that sinners come to know Christ as their personal Savior, that their sins are personally forgiven, and that they are made personally ready for heaven. That's the will of God, it says. It's the will of God that souls are saved. It's the will of God that the gospel is preached, because it is through the preaching of the gospel that men and women come to hear of their need and come to hear of Jesus Christ, who can meet their need. But in order for souls to be saved, there is the need of a mediator. And that's why Paul, having indicated to us those two reasons as to why we're to pray for those that are in authority, then he brings us to these verses in 5 and 6. And he says, "Therefore, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And here we have the truth set before us that God indeed has provided a mediator. And what a glorious truth that is, to know that not only is salvation possible, salvation is certain. There is a way of salvation. There is a means today whereby souls can indeed be saved. It is the will of God that souls are saved, and he has provided the means by which souls are saved. It is through the work of the mediator. So I want us to think a little bit about this, these two verses, this statement that Paul makes about the mediator. I want you first of all to consider the need of a mediator. The need of a mediator. There is a connecting word there at the beginning of this verse, verse 5, that little word "for." It might be a little word, but it's not an insignificant word, because that word in and of itself will highlight to us the need of a mediator. Yes, it is the will of God to save souls, but there is the need of a mediator. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men." That word "for" in a few places in the New Testament is translated as "because." And maybe that brings out the connection that there is here a little more for us. Because, oh, it is the will of God that souls are saved because there is a mediator. You see, the will of God is always done. God's will always be done. What God has ordained will come to pass. And if God has ordained it that sinners are going to be saved, then he's going to provide the means by which souls are saved. He's going to see to it that souls are saved. There is no possibility of the purpose of Christ failing in this regard. Souls will be saved. Souls must be saved because there is the provision of a mediator. And there is the reminder here that we need a mediator. Do not try to enter into heaven some other way. Do not think today, if you're under the sound of my voice, that somehow you can get into heaven another way, by your own efforts, by something that you've done or something that has been done to you, by just being a good person in and of yourself. All of those things may be commendable, but my friend, they do not open the door of heaven to anyone. The only thing that will open heaven's door to you and to me is the mediator. There is a need of a mediator. And we need a mediator for this simple reason, that we are estranged from God. Isn't that the purpose of a mediator? It's to bring together two parties that are at odds with each other. And that is certainly the case when we come to think about you and I as sinners before a holy God. We are estranged from him. We are separated from him. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 puts it very well. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So there is this separation that has taken place because of sin entering into the world, and sin in our own hearts and lives. For every one of us are sinners, and therefore every one of us are estranged from God, and therefore every one of us need a mediator. That is why we cannot get into heaven any other way. We are at odds with God. We are estranged from God. We are opposed to him, set against him. And therefore, because of this, we need a mediator. We need someone who's going to reconcile those two parties together. A holy God who has been offended. A sinful sinner who has done the offending of God. There has to be a reconciling of that. And if that is never reconciled, if we are never reconciled unto God, then heaven's door is closed to us forever. But here's the glorious truth of the gospel as Paul is outlining it in this place and telling us there is a mediator. We can rejoice in that this afternoon. God has provided a mediator. It is his will that souls are saved. And in order for souls to be saved, there is a need of a mediator, and he has provided a mediator. But I trust this afternoon that there might be that impressing upon our hearts of the need of a mediator. It's one thing for God to provide a mediator. It's another thing for men and women to acknowledge that and own up to it, and recognize it and confess it and seek that mediator. That's another thing altogether. And therefore I desire this afternoon to press upon whoever is within earshot as I'm speaking now that there is the need of a mediator, and we need to come and acknowledge that we need a mediator in order to get into heaven. We need a mediator because we're estranged from God, dead in trespasses and in sins. What a state we're in. We might be physically alive. We might have a good measure of health and strength. And if we have, we're thankful for that. And whatever measure of strength and health we have today, we ought to be thankful to it. There's those, as we know, who have struggles with health. But we might be physically alive, but the Bible tells us we're spiritually dead. There's that little phrase that is found here in 1 Timothy, it's chapter 5 and verse 6. It says, she that liveth is in pleasure is dead while she liveth. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. You can live in pleasure, my friend. You can have physical health and strength and pursue the pleasures of the world, but all you're doing is testifying to the fact you're spiritually dead. And that's the reason why you need a mediator today. There's no spiritual life in your soul. How could you ever enter into heaven? How could you ever enter and enjoy heaven if you have no spiritual life? If the life of heaven is not in us, how could we ever enter into that place? I trust today that the Lord will impress upon our hearts the need of a mediator. There is a need of a mediator. I want you secondly to consider the identity of the mediator. because Paul identifies the one whom God has provided. Again, we're not left to surmise. We're not left here to try and work this out for ourselves. And when that happens, knowing human nature, we come up with all types of suggestions and answers. And there's always differences of opinion. So we're not left here to work this out for ourselves. Paul very clearly indicates to us who the mediator is, and he puts the stamp upon this identity as well, because he tells us this truth has been testified to in due time, that this has been the witness of all who have gone before the Apostle Paul, that this indeed is the case. And the identity there is given to us in verse 5, one God, one mediator between God and men. And then you have those few words, the man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. There's the identity of the mediator. Here's the one whom we need. Here is the one who has been provided for us. None other than the man Christ Jesus. And if we can take those terms and work our way backwards, let's start off with the name Jesus. There was that one individual who was given that name especially, God's own dear Son who came into the world. Matthew chapter 1 tells us, because there is a connecting thought there in Matthew chapter 1, because not only was he to be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins, but also Matthew chapter 1 tells us that he is Emmanuel, God with us. So when we come to think of the mediator identified as Jesus, we are coming to think of one, yes, who's got the name of the Savior. And the word Jesus means Savior. As it was indicated to Mary and to Joseph, you'll call him by this name, for he'll save his people from their sins. But there's also the thought here that he's God with us. You see, the mediator is God's own dear Son. The mediator is God's own dear Son. That's the one whom he has provided. He didn't send an angel or an archangel to come into this world to be the mediator. He sent his own Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So when we think about this identity and what Paul has to say here about him, we think about the name Jesus. What a glorious name that is. A name, as I say, that means Savior. And when we call him Jesus, we call him by his name. For he is a Savior. He saves sinners. He saves those that are lost. He will bring us to heaven. He will deliver us from our sins. This is the one whom God has provided, none other than his own dear Son. But then he's also here called Christ Jesus. He's Christ Jesus. And that word Christ means anointed. It's the same as Messiah. Messiah is the Old Testament form. Christ is the New Testament form. One is Greek, the other is Hebrew. Same meaning, means anointed one. And what is the significance there of anointed one? Well, people who held certain offices among the Israelites were anointed to that office, such as prophets and priests and kings were all anointed. So when you think of Aaron as the high priest, we read about him being anointed. When we think about Elisha, the prophet, we read about him being anointed. When we think about David, who was chosen to be king in Israel instead of Saul, we read of him being anointed. They were all anointed and therefore appointed to a particular office. And what is this name Christ then signifying when we come to think about this mediator? It's telling us that there is one who is appointed to this work. There is one who is appointed. There is one who has been given a work. And didn't Jesus Christ say that? He said a number of times while he was here on earth that he had a work to do. A work given to him of his Father. And he was straitened until that work was accomplished. He was closed into it. He came into the world for a particular purpose, to perform a particular work. And he is Christ, the anointed one, the appointed one. He is the mediator. And in that regard, men and women, you see, he's the only mediator. Oh, Paul is emphasizing that not only can that truth come out of this title Christ, but then also from what Paul directly says, because he says there's one God and one mediator. There's not many gods, so you don't need many mediators to come to God. There's only one God, and there's only one mediator between God and men. And it's this individual, the man Christ Jesus. And there's only one who has been appointed to this work. There is salvation in none other. There is no other way. Remember that great statement that Peter made? The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is salvation in none other. And we declare that today. The Word of God declares that. That's not just our view as a preacher. That's not our view just as a church. That's not some creed that men have drawn up. That's the Word of God, men and women. There's only one way of salvation. There's only one mediator. And that one mediator is Jesus Christ. And we need to come by that one mediator. We've already sought to establish the need of a mediator. Well, here's the one now that we need, and here's the one by which we must come to the Father. And if you and I are going to find acceptance before God, then we need this mediator, this man Christ Jesus. So we have thought about the name Jesus and the name Christ. Then it tells us there that he's the man. The man. Oh, a very special man. No ordinary man. We could say that he's the God-man. We mentioned a moment ago that he's Emmanuel, God with us. So he's God manifest in human flesh. And therefore we can rightly call him the God-man. He's a special man. He's no ordinary man. He's a special individual. He's a special man. He's the man, Christ Jesus. Oh, no one is as special as Jesus Christ. No one divides people today like Jesus Christ. And all who are listening to me now, Jesus Christ divides us. We're either on one side or the other. We're either on the side that we know him and acknowledge him and we're trusting in him, or we're on the side that we're rejecting him and we want nothing to do with him. We're like the Jews that said, we will not have this man to reign over us. Christ divides people. But I want you to understand today that Christ saves people. Christ saves people. He saves sinners. And if you feel yourself to be a sinner, I want you to know today there's a Savior from sin. There's a Savior from sin. You see, to a sinner, Christ is special. That's why Christ is special to each child of God, each one who's saved and born again. Jesus Christ is special to us today. He's more special than anyone else. No matter who else we love in life and we count dear to us, Jesus Christ is dearer than everyone. And the reason why he's dear to us is because we know that we're sinners. And we know that we need a Savior. And we're glad that not only does Christ divide people, but he saves people. Oh, this man, Christ Jesus, saves sinners. And if you feel yourself to be a sinner, then you'll desire Christ. Then you'll want to know him. If you do not feel yourself to be a sinner, you will see no beauty in Christ. You'll wonder, what's those Christians on about? What are they going on all the time about? Speaking about Jesus Christ, even declaring their love for Jesus Christ. That only goes to show us all and show you that you don't even know yourself to be a sinner. Because if you know yourself to be a sinner, my friend, you'll treasure Christ. You'll be glad that there's a Savior. You'll be thankful that there's a mediator. This mediator saves. He is the man, Christ Jesus. He is the one whom God has provided. The man, Christ Jesus. That brings me to the last thing that I want you to consider, and that's the work of the mediator. Not only the need of the mediator and the identity of the mediator, but there's also here the work of the mediator, and that brings us to verse 6. It says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Who gave himself a ransom for all. Here's the work of the mediator. There was a work that was given to the mediator to do. That comes out of this title even, Christ, as we've already considered that. One who was anointed and appointed to a particular work. So there is a work for the mediator to do. What is that work? What does the mediator have to do? Why can it only be Christ Jesus? Why is there not another way to God? Why can there not be a multitude and a multiple number of mediators? It's because of the work that is entailed in being a mediator. That work entails making a sacrifice, paying a ransom. A ransom. You see, that thought of a ransom indicates to us that you and I are enslaved to sin. And we need the power of sin broken in our lives. We're under condemnation. The justice of God is a claim today upon us. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not just die physically, but die eternally. Separated from God forever. That's the cry of justice against every sinner today. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Well, if you and I are going to be saved, then the mediator is going to have to make a sacrifice. He's going to have to pay a ransom. He's going to have to satisfy divine justice. He's going to have to cancel the debt. He's going to have to satisfy all those claims of justice against us in order that we might be freed then. That we might be freed from condemnation. Well, Paul is telling us that that's exactly what Jesus Christ came to do. That verse reads again, who gave himself a ransom for all. Who gave himself. Oh, there was one who came into the world to pay a ransom, to make a sacrifice, to satisfy divine justice, to cancel out the debt, and to redeem a sinner unto God. But not only that, my friend, we're told that not only did he come to do this, but that he actually was the ransom price. He was the price. His life was the price. He satisfied divine justice by the sacrifice of himself. That's why Christ died at the cross. He didn't die at the cross as an example of love. It was more than that. Yes, certainly there's an illustration of sacrificial love at the cross, but that's not why Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ died to make a sacrifice for sin, to satisfy divine justice, to make payment, to pay the ransom in order to redeem sinners. And he was that ransom price. He shed his own blood. He poured out his own life. He sacrificed himself. He said over in John's Gospel, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it unto myself again. He laid down his life as the ransom price. He was the price. He was the ransom. That's another reason why there's only one mediator today. No one else can ever do that. Only God's dear Son in human nature can ever do that. That's why there's only one mediator. There's only one way to God today. There's only one who has paid the ransom price. And that ransom price was paid by Jesus Christ when he poured out his life unto death. The Bible tells us that the life is in the blood. And Christ's blood was shed at Calvary. And there's a fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. And therefore, my friend, today come to Christ. Come to Christ. I'm not telling you to come to a church for salvation. No church will ever save you, no matter how good that church might be. No matter how faithful it is, it'll never save your soul. I'm not telling you to come to a minister or to a priest or to anyone else, bishop or anyone else. They'll not save you either. I'm telling you today you need to come to Jesus Christ. He is the one mediator between God and man. God's appointed way of salvation. The one who paid the sacrifice in his own blood, in the currency of his own blood, in order to save your soul and mine. I started off today by saying it is the will of God that souls are saved. We can still say that today, 2,000 years almost since these words were written by the Apostle Paul. It's still the will of God to save sinners today. And I can assure you, my friend, on the authority of the Word of God, that if you call upon the Lord, he'll save you. If you call, he'll save you. He has provided a Savior. His own dear Son has paid the ransom price. And all who will be saved, this is how they will enter into heaven. It tells us there in that statement, who gave himself a ransom for all. So for all who will be saved, here is the ransom price. There's no other way. There's no other ransom. The ransom is for sinners. And you're a sinner, so therefore call. Call today. Come and know the saving power of Jesus Christ. I trust the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts this afternoon. And that he will speak to someone. And if you're listening this afternoon and you're not saved, it is our earnest prayer that you'll come to Christ. We are thankful for the opportunity of having these drive-ins. And as I mentioned in our opening prayer, it is our desire that our neighbors will come to Christ. My friend, we pray for that end. And we certainly want to bear witness to Christ and to tell our neighbors and friends and those who live around this locality that there is indeed a Savior. We want you to come to know that Savior. And if you're not saved, then come today. Come today. I trust the Lord will bless his word. We'll bow together in prayer for a moment, and then we're going to sing a hymn in closing. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt bless thy word as it has gone forth today. Write thy word upon hearts, particularly in the heart of any who know not Christ. It is our earnest prayer, Lord, that they might come to the Savior. Oh, work salvation in some heart, some life this day, whether old or young, passerby, someone standing listening, Lord, someone sitting in their car listening. I pray that, Lord, some soul will come to Christ even today. So bless thy word, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing the second hymn. It's 228 in the church hymnal, if you have one of those with you. I've a message from the Lord, hallelujah. The message unto you I'll give. 'Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. And that's all you have to do. Christ has done everything, as we have been thinking about today. All the sinner has to do is look to Christ and live. Benefit from it. And even as we sing the words of this hymn, may you do that.
we're going to bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise Thee for the opportunity to gather like this, even during this seven-week period. And we pray that Thou will bless the Word of God that has gone forth, not just this afternoon, but on other occasions as well. And that Thou would own Thy truth, Lord. Our confidence is not in ourselves, but it is in the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray, Lord, that it will indeed pierce hearts and bring souls to Christ. So receive of our thanks now and be with us as we part and go our separate way. Grant us Thy abiding presence, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.